Yeah. Oh, have you met John?
All right.
Come meet John quickly.
Come meet John. Costa's going to come say hello. He's our fact checker and our sound man and our cameraman and
visual.
And visual man.
Visual director.
He's a Russian.
Right, John.
Hey, Costa. How's it going? How are you? Very well.
Yeah, not bad yourself. What are we going to be talking about today, then?
Huh? Stuff.
Stuff.
Dopamine.
Things and stuff.
Mate, for some reason, I thought that you were going to go onto the screen and I pop up behind him. Like, hello. I was like, where's Costa? Like,
I want that to happen.
Yeah, man.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're going.
We're going. Okay. We're on. Fucking hell. And today on episode...
Five.
No.
Seven.
That was five, we just didn't. No.
Six.
Six. Episode six of the Jimson and Roscoe show. We have John Seaton. This is our first Zoom one. So
he's here.
Hopefully what I'm going to do when I do the editing is probably like the back of the laptop you can see here. I'm going to like have his face on it, maybe.
Oh, that's sick.
That's what I meant.
Oh, that's what you meant.
The video onto the laptop.
Back. Nah, that's lit. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, I can do that. Cool. Right. So, John, three good things that happened to you today, mate.
Three good things that happened to me today. Oh, okay. Right. This is a good question. By the way, just so you know, I deliberately haven't listened to any in advance.
Cool.
So I've not got any preconceptions. I'm not going to copy anyone else. Although if I do end up saying something that someone else has said, you can say that I'm not original, and that's fine. Three good things that have happened today. Sunday. I finished filming the music video for our new single.
Amazing.
For the dopamine one.
At the minute... A bit shambolic.
Okay.
Because there's lots of small 2 second clips flying around in like a tray, a digital tray.
Okay.
And they're all in the wrong order. You've got to get in the right order because otherwise it looks like you're not singing in time, Jimson. And I'm not rapping in time. And if I'm not rapping in time and you're not singing in time, it's not going to be a hit, quite frankly.
Yeah.
It's going to be a miss. So I've got to order that. But I'd filmed that. That's done. What else did I do today? We went to... This is real adult shit. It's quite boring, but it's still a good thing. We went to... I can't believe I'm even saying this.
Go on.
But we went to a TP... A wedding TP fair. To look at TPs for our wedding.
For a wedding.
Now, I didn't think a year ago I'd be saying that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, we got 2 years of this shit. 2 years of great fun planning at fairs. So it was great. They look really nice teepees. They would say that though. I mean, they're not going to say they're rubbish, are they? They're going to say they leak. We hope they don't leak. So that was fun. That was a bit of countryside. Oh, we saw a dead... This isn't a good thing, but I'm just going to say it anyway. As you're driving, we saw a dead deer in the road with quite a viciously broken neck. It wasn't good, but it was poignant. That's not a good thing. I'm giving you three good things and something violent.
Tragic.
As a bonus.
So was it like something good that happened in your mind? Like... It made you think how grateful you were to be alive. Or am I putting words in your mouth?
In a way. Perhaps. What was another third thing? Let me think. Is that two? How many have I done?
Yeah,
you've
two
done two
and one bad.
Fucking horrific thing.
What a shit guest. I can't count to three. And I've given you a really morbid one. Brilliant start. Third one. Okay. Oh, I had a smoked salmon and cream cheese, not bagel, like roll, just before this.
That was good.
Cool. Thick amount of butter,
right.
Thick amount of cream cheese, and the most expensive salmon in Sainsbury's.
Was it from Scotland?
Good.
Where was it from?
And then...
Alaska.
If you want a fourth one, it was from Scotland, I think.
Ooh,
a fourth
dear.
One. I'm here, right now, chatting... to Jimpson and Roscoe.
Whee!
Which, it, for me, is the best, the best of things.
Amazing. That's right.
Forget the deer. Forget the dead deer on the side of the road. That was a decoy. This is the most tragic violence I could have on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, we're glad you so did
three,
come and join
3.8,
us.
3.8 things.
Yeah. 3.8 things. 3.8. Right. Good question. What are we going to talk about?
I don't know. Just anything.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about, so your project. So tell everyone who you are and what you're doing, firstly. And now that we've got three good things and we've started ourselves off on a nice positive note, a 3.8 on a scale positive. So yeah, who are you and what do you do?
Well, first of all, I just want to make sure, I just want to sow this seed for anyone listening. I hope throughout this episode, they just keep thinking about the dead deer by the side of the road, regardless of what I say. I hope it just keeps popping in their head when they least expect it. I'll just say it every now and then, but I'm just sowing that seed a little bit. Dead deer, side of the road, mangled neck, completely mangled.
Anyone who can get in the comments and watch the whole thing, I want you to keep tab and tell us how many times John
says dead deer.
Said about the dead deer.
I want to know how many times. I'm not going to mention the dead deer, but in the comments, at the end of watching this, people, fans across the world, please tell us how many times you've thought about the dead deer. I won't mention it again.
Yes, let's do that then.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
How many times did you think about the dead deer? Let's do it. Go.
Wonderful. Right. All right, okay. Now, talk about myself, not the dead deer. So, my name is, as you've seen on Zoom and the name of the episode, my name's John Seaton. What's wrong with me? I am a musician, I guess, an artist, kind of. A songwriter, definitely. And this year, the great year 2021, I decided to work with at least 12 people and release 12 different songs, one for each month. So why, John? What's wrong with you? Why would you do such an audacious task? Because I wanted to just learn, really, just experiment. I think I started off the year thinking everyone's going to think how clever I am working with loads of different people, and then I probably got about 2 months in and I realised that I just love it. It's more about the people I'm working with as much as it is the songs. I'm not really I'm less focused on me this year than I thought I would be, so it's kind of weird to talk about it. Like, go on.
Have you done all of the songs in person with people? Because I know you come down. We've done a part of ours we did on a pre-meeting, but then obviously you come down and we did that. Have you done that with everyone?
So, not everyone, but the majority of people. Now that we can, like the one thing that was stopping us, we were going to get together in like January, but obviously we weren't allowed to travel. But other than the first song I did myself, but that was all remote with the musicians I worked with in January. And then every other one, other than the one I did with a string quartet in March, they're based in America. So that wasn't going to happen. So that was all remote. But everything else has been in different studios and touring around. I'm going to burp. I'm sorry.
Go for it. As loud as you can. Loud. Into the mic, come on.
Where's the mic? It was a little one. Well, I wanted it to be big, but it's like the best burps are the ones you don't expect. Similar to farts. Yeah. You always expect it when you build it up and it comes out as a little light. Like,
I don't know, my farts, when it's just a little,
you think it's going to be an earth-shattering fart and it's just a sort of
always,
sigh. Man.
Always.
Yeah. Just like a gasp.
Like a steam train.
Very. Oh, that's, you have high-pitched farts, Jimson. I never thought I'd ever say that high-pitched sentence, but I've always wanted to.
It's because his bum off tight.
Squeaky clean.
Not that I know. Like, fuck.
You know.
Bizarre.
Right, and so, yeah, your project. Less of my bum, I want more of your project, I guess. So yeah, you've done the majority with people. And do you know what?
Yeah.
The other night I did a live stream Friday. I know you tuned into the live stream on Friday. And that,
I was down the pub and we stuck it on.
Oh mate, do you know what? I'm still buzzing from it. I'm still buzzing after Friday from that live stream, because that live stream was fucking like, the people that were in there, it was just fucking, it was just epic. The vibes that was in there. And what you were saying then about meeting people and going there, and like the whole process of just being about the music and not anything else, is fucking, yeah, it speaks volumes, I think.
Yeah, man. I think like the first session I could have that was with other people was, it's just weird how I did it. This might get quite boring, so tell me to shut up if it gets boring. But the way I've kind of planned it is that I'd love to be able to do it all constantly, but any studio time and work with people costs money. So I've kind of had to space it out, like having breaks. It's kind of worked out that I do like three or four songs, save up a bit of money, do like three or four songs in a month for the next three, four months, and then have a break. So that worked well. This kind of happened because at the start there wasn't much meeting up, and it was a lot cheaper because there wasn't any studios and stuff was remote. But now it meant like in April, I had four different studio sessions in 4 weeks, and suddenly everyone was able to get together in a room. So just like you were saying with the live stream, like it's quite, that first session in April was really overwhelming, like in a really good way, but it's like quite emotional, I think, for everyone, because like, we had a live drummer playing, like just having drums in another studio, seeing that getting set up. And then I had a girl singer, Lucy, hello Lucy, if you're listening, come in, and it was her first time in the studio ever. And it was a lot of our first time in the studio for a while. And it was just like, it was bigger, like those moments of getting together, and I'm sure it's the same for you with the live stream, like those moments of getting together in a room are bigger than music, they're bigger than the song. But like the great thing about it is with that connection, like it's almost, and that's what I've learned this year, like it's almost, the music is just a document of the time. And that's kind of how now I look back on some of the songs that have come out, or some of the ones that are going to, I listen to it, and that's what I love about music, just as a fan, not my own stuff, but like you listen to a song and it takes you back to that time, or it takes you, like certain songs I listen to reminds me of waiting in the airport for two hours for a flight, or being on a night out, like things like that. And so like having those experiences, and then thinking, being in a lift, chilled, but having those experiences are like, I said it the other day, like I wish in that time in the studio, I wish you could bottle it up. And I'm like, no, we did. We recorded it. It's recorded. Like it makes my hair stand on the back of my neck just talking about it. But like having things like that, like that's what's great. Like anything else, like doesn't, I mean, the songs that are important, of course, because I want to feel connected to myself and hopefully other people are. But like when you can get other people in a room, like feeling something, like the music's just another part of it. Like that connection is literally everything we do. It doesn't even need to be, I was thinking this a lot of kind of enough times passed to me to look back at myself and be like, I was probably quite elitist in a way, thinking that, I'm better than people because I create stuff or I'm creative. Like, and it's not about that at all. It's like, doesn't matter what you do. Like if there's any form of like fulfillment and connection with other people, like it's valid. Like it's great. Like it doesn't matter if that's getting together and sewing a blanket or if it's getting together and cooking with your girlfriend, or I don't know, just meeting up with people and going to gigs. Or even if it's the people you work with in your office that you love, like we've all said, like we've all been in situations like I've had shit jobs in my life, but the people I've worked with in that office are great. Like they're the best people, and it doesn't matter about the job anymore. Like the job is irrelevant because it's the people.
I've often said that about events.
You get out of,
or like you could be fucking anywhere I've said that about like any event. You could be anywhere. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's who you're with. Like, you could be with the fucking best people at the fucking worst fucking environment, and it's great. And you'll always remember it. Yeah. You'll always laugh and you'll always go back because the people you were with were fucking amazing people. Mm-hmm. Or you could be at something what should be fucking spectacular and it's shit because the people you're with are fucking assholes. Do you know what I mean? It's, oh, fuck.
Yeah, well, I always use the example of like, oh, I've said this to loads of people recently, but the example of if you're in a really nice, like, free Michelin style restaurant for a really nice meal, but you're sat with an asshole, would you rather be there or would you be in McDonald's with your best mate, regardless of the quality of the food? Like, you'd rather be in the McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
And it's that's the thing. Like, it's in the restaurant of life, it's who you're sat at the table with.
Yeah.
Is the most important
food
thing.
Food secondary. Same with the music.
There you go.
Yeah. Because when I had that, like, when we went to the cave, when we did our one at the cave, same thing. Do you know what I mean? It was fucking, that day was just a fucking
absolutely
cracking day. Do you know what I mean? It was,
right.
Like, for me in the studio, rather than, more so than the recording of the actual track, it was the jam. Like, the jams, everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, the bit before when we did the fucking, when you was on the piano and Carmen was just fucking doing the thing on the sax. I mean, it was just fucking, golden. And the other day I was talking to my nan,
like,
actually.
When you're...
Go on.
Yeah, no, go on.
I was going to say, talking to my nan, and you were saying about the nostalgia. And I was speaking to her, and because we spoke to Cy. It was on episode 3 with Cy, and he does music and mental health. So he runs a mental health charity in Liverpool, which is workshops for people suffering from trauma or any sort of mental health sort of issues, and it's workshops to create music as therapy. And the conversation come up in that about Alzheimer's, and have you ever seen the ones with the videos of the people with Alzheimer's, and they put the headphones on the people with Alzheimer's and they can't remember their fucking kids in front of them? Like, do you mean they're fucking gone, they're out of it? They put the fucking music on, they're just like fucking rocking out in the chair, and it's just like fucking that nostalgia for someone who can't remember fuck all. And like that sequence of sounds is just fucking brought it all coming flooding back to him. Like, do you mean? Well, I'm getting fucking goosebumps now as well. Like, do you know what I mean? It's
right.
Yeah. What would you say?
Yeah, man. I don't know. It's, I don't know. I think that's the beauty of anything, right? When you try and, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but, and that's the beauty of anything, right? Anything you do and create, like, there shouldn't be a formula for. Like, it should just be a good feeling behind it. And it's really hard to explain, like, what that feeling is. But that's great. Like, you say about those kids, like, they can't, like, sometimes not being able to articulate something and just going with how it feels is the most important thing to do. And we spend so much time, like, trying to, or worrying about, I'm sure we all do it. I think we all do it, and like try and explain things to ourselves as we're feeling them or going through something, like, oh, this is why I'm feeling good. Like, always trying to find what makes us happy or justify what a good time is, and what even, we're doing it now. Like, why is it? Why is that good? Like, why does that matter? Like, you shouldn't have to worry about that. Like, when you're in that moment and enjoying something, whatever it is, like,
it's that,
that's enough. Like, that's enough of a good thing to want to explain it.
Yeah. I think with that, it's like the whole mindfulness thing is basically teaching you not to do that, isn't it? It's like, you shouldn't be fucking quizzing or questioning. It's like, no, be in the moment, fucking feel it, and that's it. Like, do you know what I mean? It's and like what you were saying about having things packaged up and stuff and whatnot, and we just had Grace on, and Grace, even though she's a personal trainer, but we're talking to her, and I was it went on to about how to set goals. How does she set goals for her clients who want sort of like instant gratification? And are you there, John? Was he there?
Yeah,
you are there. Your screen is frozen.
Your face is the same.
Your face is the same. You're perfectly still. It's like I've taken a screen grab. Saying my internet's unstable.
We can hear his voice.
We can hear his voice. What was I saying? So we're talking about setting small tangible goals. How do you see people who aren't motivated? And then I said, we went on and talked about numbers and how it's like, music these days, everyone's always worrying about numbers and how many Spotify streams you've got and stuff like that. Can you hear me? So we're going to edit that. I think we're going to have to do a bit. We haven't been editing the podcasts. We've literally just been doing like fucking straight in, like hour.
Raw.
But I think we're gonna edit that one a little bit. I think there we're just gonna fucking chop that where it fucked up and then bring it back in. So we'll start again from, well, since we've been on the phone to you, I guess.
Sorry for the interruption,
ladies and gentlemen. The rain is pouring on our Johnson & Johnson's asbestos roof. And something happened to Zoom. Yeah, in the previous conversation we had, we were talking about how Johnson & Johnson got, they lost a court case. They got sued for their talcum powder because of had...
I've heard about this.
Yeah, it had a direct link to giving women cervical cancer. And they also recently got sued for their direct involvement in the opioid crisis in America and lost and had to pay the money. And they're doing this family firm of Johnson & Johnson. But yeah.
Who specialise in babies.
Yeah. And Costa told us, we found out that, you know, No More Tears, the fucking shampoo, No More Tears.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So Costa informed us that it was No More Tears. So it doesn't actually mean No More Tears. He said it's No More Tears. He said it was No More Tears.
Is that a lie?
I don't know. That's what Costa told us earlier.
Yeah. I don't trust.
Costa said, "Don't trust the Russians."
And he is Russian.
Also, that.
Yeah, you have to add that bit. Otherwise, you just
don't.
You don't
want to get cancelled either.
Let me turn you up. Right. Oh, I've lost my questions now because they're on my phone.
I've got them.
WhatsApp calling.
I've got them.
And where were we anyway? We were talking about the beauty of the feeling of music and your 12 months. So, what are you going to do next year, mate? Are you going to do like something similar?
I'm going to take a break for sure.
From music, not from writing, I guess, just from
not
actively,
from writing.
Actively having a schedule, I suppose, more than anything. Yeah.
I've got a few ideas. I always feel like, so I've got a gig at the end of the year with a full band, which is bringing all of the people or as many of the people together who I've worked with this year, all in one room. Plus other people playing with a full band. So I'm really excited about that. So that's kind of like the crescendo of the year. Why I decided to try and organise this gig as well, I don't know. That was even more work. But yeah, that will be cool. It's a charity gig as well. All proceeds going to Mind. So that'll be fun. We'll get you down, Jimson. You can sing. Well, not sing. Rap. Don't sing. Or maybe sing.
I'm good at singing.
I'll come and be poetic.
Yes. And then I think, I'm just going to take a break. Because there's a lot of things I want to do with music, but I don't know what in particular. The weird thing is, like, every producer or musician I've worked with this year, even though we've just done one song, I feel like I could do an album with every single one of them, like, and it would be different and it'd be great. Like, the main thing is every song being slightly different. Or I say slightly, like different, like definitely different. So I don't know. I might just, there's a couple of the people that I've really feel like I've had an extremely close bond with in a very, very short period of time. I'm like, I want to do something larger, a larger scale project with them as an individual. But at the same time, I just, you know, life also, as I said about the old TPs at the beginning, I kind of have got a wedding to plan for. We might buy a house next year. So yeah, there's other things going on.
What?
That's all right now.
What?
The Wi-Fi.
Let me turn the Wi-Fi off. Sorry, John, you were stuttering a bit.
So I'm full green now.
There we go. Right. Yeah, I've got you back. Mate, you were saying about buying a house, I think. And then you froze. Might buy a house. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm good.
Could you hear everything what we're doing? Can you hear what we're saying?
I can hear you, yeah?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, no, we lost you. You froze a bit, so I grabbed the phone and turned around. I kind of lost you again.
You got to try and get the Wi-Fi particles down. 5G, mate.
Get the 5G fucking coming.
Oh, don't start.
Give me some Rona.
Don't do that.
Oh, yeah, so what, when you say beer, because at the moment it's like, I recently took 2 weeks off from social media because I was just fucking juggling so many things and doing so many things, and it was just like,
yeah.
Too much. Do you know what I mean? It's, and because I'm like that, it's like, I've got so many people that I'm working with and that I want to work with. And I find my issue is I just fucking say yes. It's like, yep, let's do it. And then you're like, oh, fuck me. How the fuck am I going to fit that in? Like, do you mean it's...
Yeah.
It gets... yeah, life gets in the way a bit, doesn't it? It's... But... Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm kind of... I feel like sometimes music shouldn't get in the way of life. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, that's more important, man. Like, how much time you spend with your family, your friends, your loved ones, maybe several. Maybe you have five wives and you need to give each of those wives equal time. No. Point is, but do you know what I mean? That, like, you shouldn't look for validation through doing something creative if it impacts your outside life.
Yeah.
To an extent where you're not enjoying it or you're not spending meaningful time, because at the end of the day, like, that's what I want to be remembered for. I want to be remembered for how I treated my friends and family and, like, how much time I spent with them.
Yeah.
Nothing is more important than that. Like, doesn't matter. You could be the best fucking musician or songwriter in the world. It doesn't mean shit if you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Like, I don't want to be that person. I'd rather take a break. And, like, to your point, like, how long will I have a break for next year? I don't know. Like, maybe it'll be 2 months. Maybe it'll be 18. Like,
yeah.
But I feel like nothing's more important than doing, like, spending time with people you care about, doing mundane shit. Like, yeah. Just cooking dinner, man. That's
Does your missus make music? Is your missus a musician?
No. She doesn't make anything.
No.
She's the best critic in the world.
Nice.
She loves music, but doesn't make any music at all, because she will be brutal when listening back to my stuff.
That's what you need,
and
though.
Describe it purely from a music fan's point of view. She'd be like, that's shit, or that's not good enough. You can do better than that. And the first time I heard that, I was like, fuck you, in my head. But really, she was right. Like, she's not wrong. But then it's really challenging, because when something's really good, she can't tell me why. Like, the other day I played a master of a song. She went, I love that fluffy bass. I was like, I don't know what a fluffy bass is. But
what the fuck's
I'll
a fluffy
take
bass?
It.
Talking of fluffy
but,
basses.
It's important. Sorry, go on.
What's like your musical history? What's your like background? What have you done?
Crikey. So I used to... So I went to music college for a couple of years playing guitar, formed a band that I was a singer of, a hugely unsuccessful indie band in the early noughties. And then after that band split, after a few years, I got a job working as a professional musician. Professional just means you get paid. Doesn't mean you're any good. on cruise ships, in hotels, bars, like fucking hell, Tenerife, Dubai, all sorts of places. Did that for about 4 or 5 years, just basically on tour constantly for 4 years. And then came back and wanted to start working on my own stuff again, or just work on stuff solo, because like it was a weird, it's kind of bittersweet, because I was able to tell people that I work professionally as a musician, but I just grew to hate it because there was no creativity whatsoever. I was just playing other people's songs. And the first, like, the first year or two, traveling, seeing the world, playing to people, like, there's obviously a lot of satisfaction in that. But again, like we were saying about the restaurant thing, if you're not having a good time, but on paper it sounds really good, like, who cares? Like, so what? Like, being able to tell people I was a professional guitarist wore out pretty quickly because I just wasn't happy because I wasn't writing anything. Like, I probably wrote like 2 songs in like 5 years, like, literally. So then I just came back and got a job which I love. Like, it's an office job, but it's work, like we said, working with great people. I'm paid well, so I get to put that money in my spare time into something I really care about. And I think there's kind of like, it's kind of this weird, oh, I could have gone on a rant. Let's go for it. It's kind of this weird misconception where if you're in a job that isn't your passion, then you can't possibly be happy. Like, you must have to spend the time in your job being miserable and the time outside of it not doing anything you care about. Whereas, like, for me, I think it's such a bad outlook to have. Like, because there's loads of people, like, I'm in a position where professionally I was doing music and getting paid for it. I hated it and I hated myself. And I used to come off 4 months of playing and literally lock my guitar in the wardrobe because I didn't want to fucking look at it because I hated playing guitar. And now, like, as you can see here, like, I just pick up guitar and play it whenever I want. I enjoy it. I put the money, rather than spend it on going out and getting cunted every weekend, I could spend it on going to the studio with people I care about. I don't know if anyone said cunted on a podcast before, but
We probably said cunt, didn't we?
Well, we just did. Cunt. I said it as well.
Good.
So, right, you said it with a K. Good. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. K-U-N-T-E.
Cunte.
Yeah. So, yeah. So do you know what I mean? Like, I think, like, there's such a degree of shame. Like, if you've got a day job, then...
Yeah.
You can't be doing something you're passionate about. I'm like, nah, man, day jobs are good. If you have a job that you, okay, as long as you don't hate it, like, if you get on with the people you work with and you get paid for, use the money you get from it to do something you want to do outside of it.
Yeah.
Like, I find it really, like, this idea of, like, as soon as you're doing something for a living that isn't what you love, then you've failed. And it's not like that at all. Like, you can be... Success doesn't mean... It's, again, this is the world we live in, but, like, success for me isn't, like, popularity or monetary gain. For me, it's coming up with an idea, working with people to see it through over the finish line, and, like, finishing it, like, finishing an idea I had in my head and getting it out there into the world. Like, that's it. Like, if you have that... That's success for me. Like, I feel successful in doing that. Now, like, I don't care. Like, my, going back to, like, numbers and streams and popularity. Like, when I listen to something, let's say I've got my Spotify on shuffle. If I hear a song, the first thing I do is I don't go, this is fucking great, let me just double check how many streams they've got because this will really tell me if I like this. I don't care. So what? If it's great, it's great. I like this song, but let me just say, oh, well, only 100 people have listened to it.
I don't like
it
anymore.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's shit. No, I don't care. And vice versa. Like, if there's something on the radio or on shuffle that I think sucks, I don't care if he's got 2 million streams, I'll skip it. Like, I'm not going to listen to it. I won't enjoy it. Like, and there's such a misconception of, like, I must get my validation through being popular or being paid. And even now, like, everyone bemoans the fact that you don't get paid on Spotify, but everyone is so obsessed with how many streams they've got on Spotify.
Yeah.
It's like,
why
do you care?
It doesn't make any sense.
I actually personally think we're fucking in one of the best times ever for being able to share your own music. You can just fucking put stuff out and be like, do you know what I mean? It's and I do. And I don't know if I said it on this or I said it on the last one, but it's like how I measure success or my personal success of a song now is the depth and level of feedback from people that I receive is how I measure it. So it's like, if I've had like someone's took the time out to fucking comment or private message something that actually is not some fucking fire emojis, like, oh my god, that's fucking really like how you did that. It's like, do you know what I mean? That's that to me, like, is yeah, that's
yeah,
my
I know
success.
What you mean. It's a hard one, isn't it? Because I think, I don't know. That, I mean, that's how it is for you, and that's cool. But I just find there's so much now that isn't done out of, maybe it's different for you. I'm not criticizing you personally, but I feel there's so much feedback or comment, especially online, especially between artists, that is from a disingenuous place. So what I mean by that is,
yeah,
some people, I'm sure you've had this, only say nice things to you because they want you to say nice things about them.
Yeah.
Like, I see so much, like, more and more I see that. Like, and I'm probably not socially intelligent or patient enough to decide what one that is sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's weird. You like getting, I don't know if you have this, but I get in my head where I'm like, someone says something nice about a song, and I'm like, yeah, but do they really mean it, or do they want something in like three months' time? Like, what is actually going on? Or, oh, you start second guessing shit, and people will be like, this is your best song. And then I'll be like, fucking hell, they said that last month. Does that mean I've actually improved? Or have they just forgotten the last month's song and they're saying, this is my favourite song?
Yep.
And I just start overthinking like people's feedback. Do you know what, I can't even do that. I can't even do that because I feel like when someone gives me feedback, I'm like, all right, good. Like, if they mean it and they listen to it, great for them. Yeah. But like, I am unable to tell, like,
you're in the matrix, John. If
someone's genuinely connected to my music.
Yeah.
I am. I've overthought it. I can't fucking take a compliment. That's my problem. That's my problem.
Take the compliment, John. Just take the compliment and move on.
Yeah, you're right. I've overthought it. But I do think it's weird, isn't it? Because in a way, we're both right and we're both wrong. In that there's not been any other option to gauge public opinion because we haven't been able to go out and perform, or we haven't spent time with our friends, or we haven't got anything other to look at than data or what someone's messaged us online. And we both know that like 18 months ago, those were not normal ways to measure how well you're doing at something. And it's now it's like, got to look at the numbers and got to see what other people online are saying. Like, fucking never. 18 months ago, we're like, don't read the comment sections. It'll fuck your mental health up. And now it's we can only read the comment sections. Yeah. And I can only refresh my Spotify and see how many people have listened to my song in the last week. Like, what the fuck? It's so weird. Like,
I think that was what was so refreshing about this most recent live stream that I'd done, because the room and the people that were
there—you had so many other people in the room, right?
And like, when a DJ's giving you a wheel up and you've got other people in the room, like, boom, 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 you can feel the excitement and you know the people. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm not shit. I don't just get these fucking comments from people online. It's like the people in here, that there's energy and they're like everyone else, and it was beautiful because everyone in there was so different as well. Like, they were all completely different, and they were just like. And I don't know, I'm still on a high from that. And it's like, it was just so nice to like, it was, whilst it was in someone's shed, that didn't matter. Like what you were saying earlier, it didn't matter where it was the fucking vibe that it was. And it was like, almost like some sense of what it's like to be a human, more so than a musician, but like a human musician or a human artist, of feeling the vibe. Okay, they were all other artists, but it didn't matter. They were fucking... their vibe, and they didn't fucking just like give me a cheer, like, because they wanted me to give them a cheer when they fucking spit a bar. Do you know what I mean? It's beautiful.
Like, if something's good, it's good, right? It doesn't matter if it's shared between, if you think it's good, or there's three other people in the room, or it's 3,000 people. Like, if it feels good, like, it goes back to what we said before, like, who literally, what does it matter what is showed in numbers or anything online, because it's not real. I just feel like it has become our reality. Like, so we don't. Like, I think now it's gonna be really interesting how how people are, whether people revert back to human connection or whether some of that has just been lost because we've had no choice.
I think we will.
Unless we tell him
by the other day, well, the past, what, week and a half, running the bar.
Mm.
Mate, oh, what's going on there? Oh, no. Yeah, the last week and a half being at the bar, it's coming back 100%.
Yeah.
No one cares. Everyone's rubbing shoulders with each other. Everyone's coming back.
We long for human connection.
Yeah, that's all we want, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's the same as anything. Like, I feel like anything else is not going to be the same. It's incomparable, right? What can you compare having a connection with? Like, there's no other option.
Nothing. No.
Like, nothing's really close.
It's like this. This is good right now, doing this.
Yeah.
But it'd be a lot better if you sat right here. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, completely. Mm. And, yeah, but again, like, we had that in Cave, do you know what I mean? When we got together and recorded there, and even though I know you were filming, but, like, just having those moments and having all that... Like, I've been going through some of the footage. It's fucking hilarious, man. Like, and it's great just because we're all in a room. Like, but we didn't... That's the thing, like, the best things are almost... Well, I think this is true. Like, the best things aren't planned anyway. Like, they're the things you don't expect. They're the stupid conversations, like, or the... I don't know, like, just us jamming or just hearing Carmine play the sax for the first time and just everyone getting in a room together, like... That's way more important than anything. We could have probably put the song we're releasing together separately, not in the same room, and on paper had the same sonic palette and the same thing, but it's not the same. Like,
because that was even discussed near the beginning when there was COVID. Like, we could just do that. And then I was like, nah, I'd rather wait.
It won't be the same.
I'm glad we did wait.
I'm glad we did. And now I feel like, I don't know about, I mean, now I just feel so much more joy for getting in the room with people and making music that I didn't do before. And it's really weird because on paper, like, I'm a solo artist. Like, I write on my own. Like, but there's so much... I need from other people that I now like more than ever don't take for granted and see the benefit of, like, just the experience, but also like people's technical knowledge, like the things people can show me or do with my songs and like enhance them, take it. That's kind of what I've learned from this year, is like they can take an idea that I had, like I said, the idea of success, seeing an idea I had through to completion, but when I work with someone else, it elevates it to something that I couldn't even comprehend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's better than anything I could do on my own. And it's weird because I kind of hate the term solo artist because I don't feel anything I do is never solo. Like, it's just my name on it, but this, you know, artwork, the production, the additional musicians, the studio, the vibe in the studio, the experience, the journey of getting there, the communication in the room, like all that shit, man, that's like, you know, 6, 7, 8 other people, but it's still my name on the front of the tin, but I'm not selling tins, songs, but do you know what I mean? It's not about that. Like, it's so much more than that, and it's weird because I feel like that's why I can't wait for the gig at the end of the year, because I've been just be able to put on a gig, like, not for people, like, it's as much for me wanting to have all those people in the room and all of them share ideas and everyone talk about their process. It is so, like, honestly, it's just such a learning experience for me working with other people, and it's never something that I think I'm going to get out of it. Every time it's like a different lesson that I pick up from someone else, and not normally a technical, like, you should record things like this, or watch out for bring down the 10k at the end of the, or any of the technical stuff. Like, it's not that, it's like
life experience,
it's the people, isn't it? Like, it goes back to the thing, like, the experience you get from working with someone else to do something and create something and have that enriching experience and bring it together, like, it creates that sort of, I don't know, there's something, like, again, intangible, can't even explain it. Probably shouldn't have said it on a podcast, really. But there's something intangible about it that you can't explain, that you just pick up and learn. Like, I remember someone years ago, And I laughed at him at the time because I thought he was talking shit. But he was like, all life is, he said, if see yourself as an onion with several layers and all your life experiences is blowing off layers of that onion to get to who you actually are deep within your core. Mm. And I was like, yeah, sure, man. Nice one. And now I'm like, yeah, he's right. Like the more experience I get, it's not changing me as a person. It's actually proving who I really am by working with all these other people and taking on their, I wouldn't even say advice is like too finite a term really, but just like all that experience, isn't it? It's just like the more you experience stuff, I think we've had to limit our experiences with people. Mm. And I think the one thing I've learned is not to take that for granted, not to take your learning experiences. Doesn't have to be music. Like, it doesn't have to be anything. Like Roscoe was saying, it could just be sitting down talking to someone in a bar. Like, you could come out and that could fucking enrich your life. You could have two minutes of conversation with someone that you never spoke to before that could fucking change your life.
Well, you look like old, like, when blokes used to go to, like, the working men's clubs and shit like that. So, I mean, it's like that's their escape. They're, like, sat in some fucking shitty, like, horrible, almost basically a fucking crack den, but... Do you mean there's the people there that they're fucking talking to? Like, do you mean and it's their outlet? Do you mean it's and I think the death of pubs is quite a big thing.
I think we'll see a revival of pubs, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna see that. A lot of people have been going to pubs now again, rather than going in town and going to bars and blah blah blah. Yeah. I think we'll see it, man.
Because it's
but that's the thing. It's because I think to Roscoe's point, like, it's because we had a choice before. Mm. We had the choice to go and spend £5 on a pint or go home. And as soon as you have that choice taken away, you can only be at home and drink. Mm, people are like, where are the fucking pubs, man? Get me to the pub. Like, because you don't see the benefit of stuff when you have the choice of not doing it. Yeah. When you have, like, the amount of times people have been like, oh, yeah, I had such a full calendar. And I was like, I wish I could get out of that. And then 2020 came and they're like, now I wish I didn't cancel any of my plans that I cancelled the previous year, right? Or I wish I did take that trip. And I think time will tell, but I think Roscoe's right. I think we'll have a newfound appreciation. Like, I certainly have a newfound... I chatted to Alex about this the other day. Like, I have a newfound appreciation for, like... or not a newfound appreciation, but every time now since I've gone out, I'm always polite to waiting staff anyway, but I always make sure I say thanks for good night when I leave, or I say always say I appreciate it directly to them, look them in the fucking eyes, because like,
I wish everyone
these fuckers
did
have been through so much. No, people don't, but like, if only one person shows a little bit more respect and appreciation for people who've basically not been able to do their fucking job, which is serving people, like... being served, like, fucking hell. Could you not say thank you to someone serving you? Mm. Like, I see some people like, oh, you're so... Well, it's like the old think of him what you like, but like Richard Branson always takes people out for business deals and he says, I decide whether I'm going to go into business with them on how they treat the waiting staff. Like, that's the test. Mm. We go out for a meal and how they treat the waiting staff makes me decide whether I want to work with them. I'm like, fucking yeah, man. That's what's important. These people didn't have a fucking pot to piss in an instant and they spent their whole lives, not just, like, obviously the NHS, obviously people who are working in healthcare and emergency services, like, that is incomprehensible how tough that must have been. Mm. Like, but also, like, the more subtle, nuanced things of, like, yeah, when was the last time you actually queued up at a till at Sainsbury's and someone scanned your stuff through? And when did you last say thank you to them when you took your receipt? Or did you just put your headphones back in and fuck off? Like, little things like that. You don't...
No, man. I always like the people... With the people at the shops, it's always nice to say, have a nice day.
Yeah, I always...
Yeah, exactly.
Even if they're not even giving you good service and they're looking at you like fucking really miserable.
Yeah.
Because they might be depressed, bruv.
You don't know what they're going through,
man. That have a nice day can just fucking really elevate that person's day fucking tenfold. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
Like, it's the whole thing.
They might be having a bad day because one person said one bad thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then you flipped it just because you said that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it don't cost us anything to just be polite and nice.
It's it's their whole thing. Yeah. It's like when someone says they had a bad day, and it's like, fucking, did you have a bad day, or did just one fucking moment in time define you for that day? And now you think you've had a bad day, but you haven't. And then you think about all the other amazing things that have happened that day, but we don't, because we like to focus on the scandal and the fucking the negative.
I know,
but it's
I know.
But yeah, there is, when there's so much, it's like the whole fucking comment. Going back to the comment thing, it's like someone gives you a negative comment, and you just add this fucking list of like fucking, I don't know, 5-6 good ones, and you've got like this one. It's like, oh, that fucking asshole, that fucking asshole. Yeah, yeah, what the fuck does he fucking? I mean, it's like, and you're drawn to it.
I know.
What I mean, I can't remember who done the study. It was like Coca-Cola or someone like that. They'd done this study, right? And it's like how news travels, and it was like a good piece of news and a bad piece of news, and it was like hearsay and how many people would tell. And they were saying like a bad piece of news, I think it was like an average they tell 7 people, and a good piece of news they'd like tell 3. So like people are much more quicker to like go off.
Same as reviews, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? More people are quick to write a bad review, but you have to push them to write a good review.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Oh yeah, do you mean on TripAdvisor? Yeah. That's fucking, do you mean it's like you're more going to be inclined, if you've had shit service somewhere, to go on and write, don't go to this place, it's fucking terrible, than if you went there and said, well, actually, the fucking, it was all right. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's a mad scene.
I don't know. Madness. Friends, I've got to go soon.
How long have we got left, Costa?
About 7 to 8 minutes.
Cool. All right, well, if you've got to go, do you want to... Let's do our finishing questions. So we've got a rapid fire round for you.
So it's called One Must Go, John. Ready.
One Must Go. What was is he saying the ones he's going
to
keep?
Or yeah, so basically you need to tell me the ones that you want to get rid of. All right?
Who am I getting rid of? Okay.
All right, ready?
I'm ready.
Leonardo DiCaprio or Christian Bale?
Leo can go.
Ooh. Twilight or Blade?
Get rid of Twilight.
Yeah. ABBA or Bee Gees?
ABBA, 100%. ABBA, fuck ABBA. Throw ABBA in the fucking pit of fire.
Sperm retention or relentless fapping?
Say that one again, sorry.
Sperm retention or relentless fapping?
Fucking hell, that's hard. Sperm retention. Did I miss one?
No, you just have to answer.
Did you answer? Did it freeze?
I didn't hear it.
Which one did you get rid of? Relentless.
Sperm retention or relentless fapping?
Get rid of the. Relentless fapping.
Fapping. Get rid of that. All right, cool. Oh, no, one painful. More. Chlamydia or generic IKEA wall art?
Get rid of chlamydia. A sentence I've asked Alexa several times.
Amazing. And then the final question is, what is your personal meaning of life?
Be decent and spend decent time with other decent people.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Absolutely beautiful. And ladies,
friends,
yeah,
you do the outro, sorry, it's your show. Fuck
yeah, man. That was it, ladies and gentlemen, that was John
Seaton.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, friends.